Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to church, all of you. My name is Willis McCoy, and I have been a member of this church. It will be 6 years in October of this year. You are invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, which is right behind these doors. If you are a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that if this is your first time to visit, you will consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and placing this card in the offering plate or handing it to an usher. If you will do that, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know all about the programs and activities going on here in the church. If you would like to learn more about the church and about Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays in our fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you're certainly welcome to take home with you. Regrettably, there are no refrigerator magnets. I draw your attention to the announcements in your order of service. We hope you will keep these things in mind as you plan your upcoming week. And now, I invite you to move to the microphone by the piano here and share briefly any joys, milestones, or concerns you may bring with you to church this morning.
Hi, my name is Mona Hebert, and I've been a member of this church for about 8 years now and have been on the worship committee. Right now, I gather all of the ushers to do their work, etc. From August 6th to August 14th, I'm going on a medical mission trip to Guatemala, and we are collecting toothpaste, toothbrushes, and bars of soap to give to all of the villagers that come into the clinic. I've been told that in the past, we may see up to 200 to 250 people each day, so we're expecting to see over 1,000 people during our mission trip down there. I wanted to thank everybody who's been so generous donating toothpaste, toothbrushes, and soaps, and money. I've collected over $200 in money, and I think the dollar store is going to freak out when I walk in. but just to let you know, since next Saturday is packing day, if you've brought any toothpaste, toothbrushes, or bars of soaps or anything like that with you today, I'm still collecting them, or if you want to donate a few dollars, I will continue to collect them after next Sunday, etc., and we'll just kind of hold them until the next trip, but everything we collected to this point we'll be sending out on Saturday when we start packing, which I think is going to be interesting. We have about 18 members on the team, and we're supposed to pack 50 pounds worth of supplies to take. So next Saturday is going to be a fun day. I'm going to be tired on Sunday, but again, I want to thank everybody for what they have contributed and donated. I'm really proud of my church. Thank you.
My name is Nancy Kniff, and I have spoken previously about my brother-in-law who lives in Maine, who has excruciating headaches to the point of he goes into seizure. They did a trial electrode thing in his head, and he had 1 week of no pain and no seizures. So he just had the permanent ones put in on Friday. He's like a new man again. So I had asked previously for prayers and thoughts for him. So thank you, and I'm just so happy.
My name is Marty Johnson, and I've been a member here for just about 18 months here at First Church Alton. I'm the president-elect, and so I was privileged this past week to attend the Midwest Leadership School that was held in Wisconsin. It was a whole week of training and reflection and teaching and sharing with other UUs in our district and the other adjoining districts in the United States. And there were about 40 adults there and 12 facilitators. I think Sayer probably will talk a little bit about it too. It was a fantastic week. So the takeaway that I had, the big takeaway, was I'm very bullish about the Unitarian Universalist faith, and I think we've got great things going on here. So very excited about the upcoming year. Thanks.
I'm Mary Johnson. We had another fourth Saturday lunch yesterday. We fed about 50 people, and there were 27 of you all who volunteered either to bring food or to help set up or to help clean up. So I appreciate all of you.
Hello, I'm Sarah Johnson, and I'm president of the congregation. I was honored to be able to be a part of the Midwest Leadership School, transformative experience. I'm happy to talk about it with anybody that'll listen. I'm very excited about the things that are going on in our church, and I'm so grateful to be a part of not only our congregation, but the whole Unitarian Universalist movement. Just amazing experience. As far as our church, I'm back to plug the Camp Fest that's going to be occurring this next weekend. It's a congregation-wide camp out. Everybody's welcome. I've got an information board out here. I'm going to have a sign-up sheet for all the food. We need to feed a lot of folks because a lot of folks have signed up. It's already there. Thank you, Alex. So if you are interested in supporting Camp Fest by donating some food, or if you're coming and want to bring some food, we need your help. We need your support. If you can bring it to church by Thursday, that would be fantastic, or you can contact me and I will come pick it up. So thank you.
My name is Linda. I've been coming here for almost a year in August. And I live at this bird shelter place, 1414 Milton Avenue. And we're in dire need of a cook. And so if you know anybody that might could use a job and need a job as a cook, direct them here at 1414 Bird Shelter Care and put in an application, because we just can't seem to land one. Thank you.
Any announcements for the good of the church? Please step forward to the microphone at this time.
My name is Bob Larson. I'm with the Grounds Committee, and I wanted to encourage people to come to the Spruce Up, Fix Up Work Day next Saturday. The last work day was 40 degrees and rainy. I'm pretty sure we won't have that next Saturday. Thank you.
I'm Kleber Van Zandt, minister of this church. I have two joys and two concerns this morning. First of all, Debbie Miller and Angie Payne joined the church last week. Debbie and Angie here, they're sitting right there. Welcome, Debbie and Angie. You will also see their daughters, Tyria and Isis. Say hi to them later. In this sanctuary on Friday, we perform the first of what I think will be many legal civil unions. Some of us didn't believe this would happen in our lifetimes. Even young people didn't think it would believe in their lifetimes. This is the legal sheet. If you want to touch it and feel it, you're welcome to. I didn't mail it off just for that reason. Amanda Benizzi and Sharon Opp. Amanda's been a member here for a while. Amanda and Sharon re-upped their vows that they made a year ago or so. And we have done many weddings for people who couldn't be married legally here. This is the first time it's been legal. Sadder notes. Rose Hoshiko died this week. Rose is a longtime member of this church. She and Mike, as I understand, came to this church in the 60s when it was illegal for them to be married elsewhere, and they were married in this church. And they stuck it out and they've stayed. Rose's family was with her this week and she passed away. This evening at 5 p.m., we will have a dinner and a reception for that family and for Rose here in the Kate Worker Fellowship Hall. So you're all invited to come meet the family. They are lovely. Lastly, a year and a half ago, this congregation was stunned to see a former member arrested for stealing a large amount of money from a fellow church member. We dealt with that crisis, we think, in appropriate ways, both communally and publicly. That former member, Dennis Nalick, confessed to his crime and was to attend a sentencing hearing this past Thursday. Instead, he chose to take his own life. Dennis leaves behind a wife, Beth, two stepdaughters, Meredith and Emma, and other family members to pick up the pieces and clean up the messes and try to move on. Though that family has been estranged from this congregation this past year and a half, it is time we reach out and include them in our circle of care and concern. It is time we include them in our thoughts and our prayers. Because this has been such a shattering series of events in this family's life and indeed in the life of this church, you are invited to a time of communal reflection today, just after church here in the sanctuary at about 11:30. There is much healing needed all around in this circumstance, and we hope that this can be a beginning on such a healing journey.
I skipped this, so I'll go back and do it. I now invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet any of them that you do not know. Prelude begins our worship service as Devin Johnson lights the chalice and Emilia and Maggie McCarthy provide music. We are here to abet creation and to witness to it, to notice each other's beautiful face and complex nature, so that creation need not play to an empty house. Our first hymn is number 308, The Blessing of the Earth and Sky. Please stand if you are able. Turn with me to the back of your hymnal to number 517. We Lift Our Hearts in Thanks by Richard Fuchs. Oh, I'm sorry. 517. Thank you. Starhawk. Okay. I am who the beauty of the green earth and the white moon among the stars and the mysteries of the water.
I call upon your soul to arise and come unto me.
For I am the soul of nature that gives life to the universe.
From me all things proceed, and unto me they must return.
Let my worship be in the heart that rejoices, for behold, all acts of love and pleasure are my rituals.
Let there be beauty and strength, power and compassion, honor and humility, mirth and reverence within you.
And you who seek to know me, know that your seeking and yearning will avail you not, unless you know the mystery.
For if that which you seek, you find not within yourself, you will never find it without.
For behold, I have been with you from the beginning.
And I am that which is attained at the end of the sky.
From all that dwell below the skies, where tones of faith and hope. Please be seated. We have been greatly blessed. Let us now give generously so that others might be blessed by the work of this church. The morning's offering will now be given and received. Today to have in the pulpit Michelle Bryant Barbeau.
I'm honored to be here. If we could take a moment to breathe together, just take a deep breath. If we could move into a moment of a prayer and meditation to begin. Great mother of creation, bright big bang and black void, known by so many names. Connect us heart to heart, earth to sky, and listen with our ears. Let us remember those of us moving through endings and beginnings, success and celebration, trials and tragedies. In the moments that we need it the most, help us remember we stand on the shoulders of those who have come before and are held in the care of community and do not stand alone. In this safe and sacred space that we find ourselves, let's move in a moment of silent prayer in our own way, however we find ourselves this morning. And with another breath, release the troubles and prayers in our hearts into the hands of the universe. Blessed may we be. So I have one reading for you today. It came out of a recent UU World, which is interesting. This starts to show up at your house when you become a member. So this one was volume 25, number 2, and the essay was called Before Words by Doug Mutter, The Spirituality of Humanism. And in it he says, spirituality is an awareness of the gap between what you can experience and what you can describe. If I'm right about what spirituality is, then what is the value of it? Drumming or chanting doesn't feed the hungry or promote justice or even make money. So why commit time and effort just a way to raise your awareness of what you can't describe? I do it because I believe the undescribed is where the new ideas come from. My creative process is to stare into the gap between experience and description until something crystallizes out of it and becomes describable for the first time. Spiritual seekers go bad when they try to defend the gap between description and experience by shutting down the progress of description. For example, don't let Galileo look through his telescope. He'll screw up the mysteries of the heavens. Their mistake is believing that mysteries are an exhaustible resource. Many humanists hate to use the word faith, but I think it's appropriate here. I have faith that our potential experiences are infinite and our powers of description are finite. Go ahead and learn, then, because you'll never run out of mysteries. Thus ends the reading. So I gotta tell you, this is a little weird. Although it's kind of interesting that we played a song called The Witch's Dance to get it started. Is this a great place or what? But the religion of my birth certainly didn't have a woman in the pulpit, and my children's religion of practice, an eclectic brand of some sort of paganism, doesn't tend to have a pulpit at all. Our priests are often midwives to an experience, with the practitioners themselves breathing life and movement into the rituals. So it's interesting to share this experience with you that blends both the pulpit and a birthing of a moment. We keep showing up here with, by choice, as a chosen faith. We keep turning up here with no intercessions, no specialists who deem us worthy or not, thank goodness. And we are the seekers and the revealers of our own mystery. We keep showing up here week after week like a bad penny in search of what? And I'm sure we all have our reasons. I'm sure there's at least three for every person that there's in here. However, one of the reasons why I keep coming back is to meld my inner and outer work. My personal practice has always placed personal practice first, and I still hold to this. This is done with the intent that being a strong, practiced, well-versed person in my faith can add such a value to the whole when we come together as a community. And I learned this in the poetic prose that we read as a responsive reading, The Charge of the Goddess. But sometimes you'll also hear it as, be the change you wish to see. So only by being willing to heal myself, open myself, change myself, can I enact real and lasting change in the world. This is magic. This is prayer. This leads to community. So as a pagan, I use the natural cycles, the push and pull of the moon, and at the beginning of this year, I started trying a new experiment. I was going to use each cycle to study something, like planting and growth in March, or prayer in April. As I was moving forward into blooming and seeing the harvesting and reaping of what I've been working on, this time I started to look towards practice, and what accidentally happened is it wasn't the practice, it was being open to practice. So I've looked at my unhealthy eating habits, which is also known as the McDonald's diet. Breaking old habits that no longer serve me, fear and uncertainty, self-sabotage, self-worth issues, laziness, procrastination, apathy, you know, all the stuff that a lot of us run into every once in a while. And I think this is where practice comes in. So I should also mention that because I'm pagan, this will color my views on spiritual practice. My personal theology starts with monotheism, has several scoops of polytheism, a healthy dash of pantheism and animism thrown in the mix. That doesn't even make sense. Okay. So it starts with some type of source that it seems like to me that connects all things together, monotheism. But yet I've hung out with very specific, individual, and distinct deity, polytheism. And some of these are spirits and energies, like how you can tell the difference between an empty room or a house that's been lived, loved, and laughed in. There's a different energy there, and I can't deny it. So that's where pantheism and animism comes in. So this means I slip around the theological playground pretty freely, and that's okay for me. because I've also started talking about and to myself as a mystic, and in a definition that I've blatantly made up, I call being a mystic the ability to suspend belief or disbelief until after the experience. So for example, imagine in the middle of a good deep sleep, you find that you were dreaming of flying. And you are soaring above the trees and moving in and out of clouds. And just as you're turning and giving a good wink to the hawk soaring in the blue, blue sky next to you, you realize, I can't fly. Maybe it's not time for rationalization right about then. In our reading today, it defines spirituality as the gap between words and experience. He even goes on to say that spiritual seekers don't want to talk about words and definitions. They want to talk about the experience of having no words. And they want even more to stop talking and invoke a situation that they will have no words for. So in my personal practice, I call God, whatever that is, him, her, them, it, and us. Sure. And I know that as Unitarian Universalists, we really value our powers of intellect. And I completely agree. Sometimes I try to carefully categorize and rationalize these experiences within an inch of their lives. And I fail. But I'm finding that when I overlabel or run like crazy away from a label while I'm trying to categorize, I feel like I'm missing something. I'm finding that rationalism without wonder, intellectualizing without enjoying the beauty, leads me to being hard and inflexible. I begin to deaden myself to the chirping of the birds and how the sunlight plays through the trees. I forget to pause and gaze in awe of the mystical Midwestern Nile that's right out there in our Big Mama Mississippi River. And by losing sight of these things, experiences of wonder, power, and mystery grow less and less frequent. I forget how to conversate with him, her, them, it, us. So in the past month, I've been trying to figure out how to get open again and to remember that when I practice and make a conscious effort ritually or informally, I open myself to things bigger than myself and yet a part of myself and begin to see and feel more clearly. So what's up with this practice? Practice, you know, like you practice so that when it's time to perform, you're ready. Sometimes it really goes smoothly. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, I've played the piano since I was seven, but 5+ years without daily practice has really wreaked havoc on my ability to play with confidence. A calming meditative practice of grounding and centering has gotten lax over the past couple of months, and it really reared its head when it came time to give the sermon. Oops, I'm not very calm and centered, as I've noticed this morning, and so it took a little extra effort to find that. Years of practice, breath, and body control was being eaten away by simple nerves. What it really fell victim to was time and lack of use. Without being honed, it's kind of like a bad kitchen knife. You know, I had a summer job selling knives. You take what you can get. And actually, my supportive, well-meaning parents probably have way too many knives because of it. Yeah. But one of the things I remember from my training is a dull knife is more dangerous than a sharp one. And I couldn't believe it, because I was not very comfortable with these sharp knives. It wasn't a good job choice. But I realized that it is more likely to slip and miss its intended target. Aiming to cut cucumber can turn into finger very quickly when it slips. Being calm and centered can turn into agitated or anxious, or not being able to sleep the night before. Or another example of something gone awry is the support of people that you care about can turn into enabling or giving until you have nothing left. I'm a part of a few covens and groups that focus on practice and deepening our pagan faith. And one of them is called Athame's Edge. An athame is referring to a ritual blade that's kind of a traditional knife of the witchy pagan toolkit. So when I say an athame, it is sometimes being used to cut something. It's also used to direct energy and focus. So the edge of such a thing, such a knife, can carelessly and accidentally cut ourselves or others, or we can consciously use it to create, heal, and inspire. A dull knife is more dangerous than a sharp one. So going back to practice, I was staring at my piano fingers and realizing that all of these years of practice has led me to be able to move my ring finger independently of the other ones. What good is that? I know it's kind of cool, but I guess it helps me type. But then it also helped me realize that reading music has helped me see patterns and focused my very free-form, artsy mind focus on details that I really wouldn't care about otherwise. But playing and loving music taught me to surrender to experience and come out the other side, forever changed. So centering, same thing, the same type of practice, helped me connect to the earth that steadies and the sky that inspires and literally plug into the source that sustains me. And by being familiar with breath control, I happen to be an asthmatic, comes in really handy when I'm having an asthma attack. But on an emotional level, these things have helped me in numerous ways to live and love in fulfilling ways. I'm able to give more of myself when I'm at peace with myself. Just down the street when I lived in Florissant, Missouri, I saw two monks in the post office. It was the oddest, most interesting thing. Saffron robes, wool socks, and sandals. And they were sending a heap load of packages to who knows where. It was just after the holiday season. If your holiday season goes the way mine does, I'm tired and cranky, and I certainly don't want to be at the post office. So no offense to the post office, but also the people working there were tired and sick of all of these packages and didn't want to be at the post office either. So as their stack slowly dwindled, things got more and more impatient. The monks started shifting and dancing a little bit and replying a little more curtly, yes, 3, 5 pounds, you know, and I noticed that the entire room started shifting and dancing. Yes, what, move, no, I'm not next in line, I have a number, what? And all of us were falling prey to this impatience, this thing that all of us have fallen prey to, and I was one of them. I didn't even have anywhere to go, and I was impatient. And then I saw the monks pause, and a silence fell on the room. They kind of glanced at each other, glanced at the room, and took a breath. They reset. They used the power of their practice. One smiled at the attendant. The other cracked a joke. And suddenly, when I was chuckling, even though I hadn't heard the joke, and smiling at my neighbor, who was way too close for a perfect stranger in the post office, I realized what happened. They had just helped us save ourselves from ourselves with the power of their practice. So What could your practice do for yourself or others? I invite you to take a look. What if we dared take a little meaning from those speechless gaps during simple or profound experiences? The author of the reading says he pursues those gaps because creativity arises from it. For me, I move into dialogue with the him, her, them, it, us thing. With the benefits of moving deeper and more consciously into a spiritual practice that we already have start showing up everywhere? And if you'd like a little creativity, we've got influences and principles of our Unitarian Universalist faith right in the front of our hymnal and on the UUA.org site. What would happen if we discovered meaning and significance in the personal practices of other faiths and each other in the congregation? For me, the definition of a shaman, who's kind of a spiritual specialist that's found in all world cultures, it seems, involves taking a journey out of the ordinary or deeper into the ordinary until it turns into something extraordinary. But the key point of this journey is to go, have an experience, and then return and share what we've found with our communities. This is what I would wish for us as we choose day after day to move along our spiritual journeys together. That we not only go out and stay open for experience, but also that we return to our touchstone, our grounding place, our church and community, and share what we found. Together, we may draw enough creativity and wisdom from our inner experiences to meld with our hopes for the world. Blessed may we be. Our final hymn today, and our teal hymnals, our new teal hymnals, is Blue Boat Home. I invite you to stand as you're able. It is number 1064.
Far away from the rolling ocean.
We are stardust and walking earth and water. Let us have courage to remain open to something greater than ourselves and hear the reminders of the universe. Our awareness can bridge the distance between what is in our hearts and what's in the world. Blessed may our journey be. Merry meet, merry part, and merry may we meet again.